This is Thoughts Become Things. With each episode, we'll help you reach the highest creative potential that God has for you. With your host, a teacher, life coach, a dream coach, and motivational speaker, Jeremy Lopez.
Hello again, everyone, and welcome to the podcast of Thoughts Become Things. I'm Jeremy Lopez, and so glad, as always, every week you guys have always joined me and a part of this, and we are just sort of plowing through life, understanding more of our responsibility, our accountability, taking charge, for lack of better words, of our life. I like that phrase because so many people don't really take charge of their life, you know, and I think sometimes we sort of pawn it off and you know, maybe to other people, or blame our parents, or pawn it off on the Lord and say, well, he does everything for me, you know. And the truth is, that's not true, you know, because God loves to work with us. Because how are we going to learn, right? How are we going to learn? How are we going to be able to be wiser people, or just learn, period, if God just did everything for us? And so today, I don't really have a fancy title, of course, you know, but I want to talk about basically when he deals with sort of law of attraction and sort of asking the things of God's kingdom. I want to talk a little bit about, what do we do with the word how? Okay, so let's just put it this way. Why don't we just call the title of this today, you know, what to do with the word how? How's that? Because I wanted to bring this to your attention. You know, so many people I life coach throughout the day, every day, and people I minister to prophetically, give them prophetic words, and just so many different people I come in contact with on the road as well when I'm traveling, speaking, always ask me, you know, well, does a prophetic word give me how? You know, or how do I do this? You know, I've got this vision or dream from God. How do I make it happen? Here's the thing you have to understand. When someone asks you something, let's say, for example, someone has this vision from God and they're like, you know, I see what God is wanting me to be, or what God is wanting me to become one day, or, you know, or own whatever. I just don't know how to do it. And so a lot of times they'll inquire through prophetic words, or they'll inquire through life coaching and say, I need God to tell me how. But here's where you miss it. Here's where I miss it. Here's where we all miss it. And that is, the how is going to look different for every single person. And I think sometimes when we deal with the word how, we sort of think, well, yeah, we get that. It's going to be different for everybody else. However, most people think that the word how is going to be, well, it might be similar in nature to somebody else's, you know, action. Not always true. And when we look at the word how, we have to think, how really is, or can be, an enemy of our faith. Because faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. When you think about calling those things that be not as though they were, notice that verse where it says that God calls those things that be not as though it were, as though it existed, as though it already is here. So you notice in that verse, you never hear when it says, calling those things that be not as though it was. It never says something to the effect of calling things that, you know, that be not, but learning how to do it. You know, you notice how you never hear the word how in these scriptures, because of the fact when he says you call something into place, you call things that be not as though it already is existing. Now, here's what's cool about that verse. When something does tend to appear in your mind, in your spirit, and you know, and you're like, I know in the spirit realm it's there. I know that God wants me to do this, and it doesn't exist here on earth, so I'm going to speak it forth. Now, will it look differently when it's spoken forth into the earth? Absolutely. Would it feel differently? Absolutely. However, when that is happening, when that is being processed or materialized in the natural world, no matter what it is, it could be a car, it could be a ministry, it could be a church, it could be, you know, you're waiting on your spouse, it could be, you know, anything, children, no matter what the case may be. But many people attach that verse to the word how, and if you think about it, that verse doesn't even use the word how, nor does it even the scripture before it or after it even allude towards how to do it. And the reason why, because faith doesn't require your how. Faith doesn't require, and it doesn't ask you, well, do you know how to do this before I, you know, want you to believe in it? You know, do you think God ever comes to you and says, so here's the key thing, you know, I'm going to cause you to be a business owner, I'm going to cause you to be a mom, I'm going to cause you to, you know, you're going to have this big ministry, I'm going to cause you to become an author. Do you think God says, now here's exactly how you're going to do it, okay? You're going to call Aunt Betty, Aunt Betty knows somebody named Mike, Mike's going to begin to help you, he's going to hire you. You see what I'm saying? I mean, you know, you never hear God do that. And most people always feel in their heart that because of their comfort zone they're so used to, they feel like, no, God will never hold anything back from me. Because His Word says that He withholds nothing, no good thing from me. Here's the key thing. You're right. He doesn't withhold anything from you that's good. However, the journey and the experiential aspects of you learning and you understanding the whole dynamics of life, that He will never take away from you. That is more important than anything, because the fact He won't withhold it from you, but it doesn't also mean He's going to give it to you when you want it. It also doesn't mean that He's going to drop it in your hands just because you just decided to ask. Because when it says no good thing withhold from us, we tend to feel like that means that if I ask God for something right now, He is obligated to do it for me and give it to me right now because I just now ask. But that's not how God works. You know, God is not a genie in the bottle. You know, God doesn't work for you. And so, is it true to say no good thing will He withhold from those that walk uprightly? Absolutely. However, He didn't say when He's going to give it to you, in what timing, right? So you're right. He doesn't withhold anything from you that's good. However, He does hold the right and the power of time to know that timing for Him is going to be everything. If God gave us everything because it's based on that scripture of how we see it, if God gave us everything we wanted because we simply looked and said, but You said no good thing You withhold from me, God, then if that's the case, then anything I ask for all throughout the day that is good, then I'm going to automatically get it. Imagine how spoiled rotten we would become. Imagine what kind of people we would become where, wow, if I just ask for it, He just gives it to me. Wow. And God doesn't work that way. God doesn't withhold anything good from us, but He doesn't tell us what time frame it's going to come in. And that's very important for you to understand, because once you understand the key element is in the middle, the meta, which is, you know, when you think of metamorphosis, in the meta part of the middle ground of you shifting into what you're becoming in your life, you have to remember the good things will come to you not for the timing of you, but the time of God. Why? Because He gets your mind ready. He gets your spirit ready to receive. He gets your body ready. Maybe you need to be more fit to take on a different role. Maybe you need to be able to be a little bit more healthier. Maybe you need to be able to maybe get over a heartbreak of something, you know, or maybe you need to get over some fear. So no matter what the case may be that you need to sort of work through, that good thing He's going to give to you will come when it needs to come. Because God knows He's not going to give you $1 million, nor is He going to give you, you know, anything on earth just because you just asked for it. If you're in the middle of a broken heart or broken marriage, or you just got finished, or you got a stealing problem, you know, or you know, you're just sort of a kleptomaniac. You know what I mean? I mean, no matter what the case may be, you know, you have to remember God's not obligated to give it to you just because you asked for it. So that scripture is very abused. Because people love to quote it. But the key thing you have to understand is it's not up to you to know when He's going to give you the good thing. If I tell you for a moment, here's the thing. If someone comes to my house and I have this big bowl of candy sitting out on the table, right? And then all of a sudden someone leaves the house that maybe visited me and they said, oh my gosh, like He doesn't withhold any candy. Like I'm talking, there's a big bowl of candy. Anytime you come here, you can just get it because He loves people to take maybe just, He leaves it out for people who are guests. Let's just go that route for a moment. Okay, first of all, I don't have a big bag of candy, but let's just go there. So if that's the case, then that person is going to go and they're going to say something to the effect of, you know, oh my gosh, if you ever go to Jeremy's house, He will not withhold this candy from you. Like He's got candy galore, and you know, and you can get it. You know, like He loves people taking it. That's the same exact thing as that person in a different, in, let's say, in a scriptural basis of, let's say, sort of tag teaming that scripture. That same person could say something to the effect of, "No good piece of candy will Jeremy withhold from those who come to his house." Right? So does that mean that if you just call me on the phone and you say, hey, I want candy, and you don't withhold anything from me, you know what I'm going to say? You're exactly right. But here's what you're going to have to do. You're going to have to get in the car, drive to my house, knock on my door, come visit me, and then you can have the candy, right? So there's always these, I don't want to say stipulations, but there's always these experiences that you need to go through. Now, that might be a cheesy example, but it's a really good example because we tend to feel as if God's just going to just drop it down, as if God is above us dropping things in our lap, when God's like, that's not how I work. I'm more interested in making the man than the ministry. I'm more interested in making you. I'm more interested in you working your mind and not so much your behind to begin to get you to where your mind is thinking on a higher wavelength like that of you know, of the kingdom of God, of the mind of Christ. So you have to think, when we deal with the how, we have to look and say, okay, you're right, God will never withhold anything from me. However, I've got to be ready. However, I've got to make sure that I'm ready in His timing to where it's given to me. And if you think about that verse, by the way, let me back up for a moment. If you think about that verse, no good thing will He withhold from those that walk uprightly. You can also take the same verse that says, you know, that dealing with God's prophetic word, and it says, you know, God's word will not return back to Him void, but it has to go and accomplish everything that God sent it to do. Now listen closely, because He's letting you know about the allness, because the action of it. Because He says what? He says, my word will not return back to me void. Okay, so that's a command. It cannot go back to God void. Then you hear the rest of it that says, my word not return back to me void. It shall go and accomplish everything it was sent to do. Now think about it. There's a timing issue on this as well. God's word just doesn't go and zap somebody and supernaturally changes their mind and their life right there, because then there's no experience and there's no learning curve. You know, it's like a dog who's going to return right back to his vomit, the Bible talks about. And so, because if you don't learn, don't have an epiphany or revelation, it means nothing to you, no matter what God does for you. And God will never waste anything to give to you just because He loves you, because the simple fact that because He does love you, He would rather you be healed and understand how to take something of value and not destroy it and not abuse it, right? So the good things God gives you, He wants to make sure you're ready for them to be able to treat them good and multiply them and produce them. We're about co-creating, and there's nothing on this planet God will not give you if He knows you're not ready to co-create, to produce more of that same kind or multiply more of that. So when we deal with the word how, getting my little rabbit trails here, when we deal with the word how, we have to understand, God, how can I do this? And so what does God do? He says, first of all, you take the first step. What step? Now, sometimes, to be honest with you, sometimes the Holy Spirit will sort of show you, go over here and talk to so-and-so. I don't want to go do that. Because most of the time, God is trying to show us how to do something in the sense of us sort of walking it out. But yet we look and we automatically disconnect, because we say, Mike doesn't know anything about my future. You know, why should I go talk to him? That's not God. And so they'll automatically dismiss it. They don't realize that there's steps to get to the top of the second floor, which means there are steps you will have to take. And the first, second, third, fourth step usually does not connect whatsoever to the future you and the future thing you're trying to manifest. Most of the time it doesn't. And too many people are trying to judge because they're automatically judging the first step to say, that's not part of God, that doesn't even connect to anything I'm heading in that direction. The truth is, yes. You know, there's an old saying we say, and that is, all roads lead to home. Now part of me wants to say, not true, because I can get in my car and if I keep on driving, I could end up in Seattle, Washington, so that's not home for me. But let's just talk spirit for a moment. In the spirit realm, that pretty much is true. Because when you take a first step, God is always, because He who began a good work is more than able to finish it and complete it. So whenever you take a first step, God will make sure it's going to lead you to where it needs to go, because we're spirit-led. Because you're spirit-led, if you take a first step, don't judge the first step, do it, and don't be concerned about how it connects to the future you're trying to manifest, then you know what happens? God will make sure all roads do lead back to home, because all He's requiring for you to do is take the first step. Whatever He tells you to do, do it. Isn't that what Mary said at the wedding banquet? So that's the key thing. Just do it. And once you begin to understand that process, then you realize all roads for the, you know, in that area of trusting God, they do lead to home. And home might not look like what you think or what you perceive it to be or what you judged it to be. And that's why God's ways are higher than our ways. His thoughts are higher than our thoughts. And that's why He says, no good thing. That He hasn't even entered to the heart of man the things God's prepared for us. Because you think you know what it looks like and what it does, but most of the time you really don't. And so what do? We bring forth an attraction. I call my attractiveness. We bring forth an attraction. How do I attract it? By believing the vision. Believing the vision. Don't throw my how into the situation. Believing the dream. Don't throw the how into the situation. Believing the prophetic word. Don't throw the how into the situation. Once you begin to do that, you realize whatever first step I need to take, I'm going to take it. I'm not going to judge it. I'm just going to go that route. And then we began to believe it. We began to, you know, envision it, what it looks like. Then we began to put all these pieces in our mind of what our desires are telling us. And when that begins to happen, God takes that. Does he tweak it? Does he work with it? Absolutely. But he needs substance. God, and now it's not the fact that we say God has to have substance, because God doesn't have to have anything. But God, in this situation, he needs substance. That's why he says, you know, come before me boldly and ask what you will. In other words, you got to have words in your mouth to ask if you're going to come boldly, right? Just don't go up there and say, I don't know, God, what do you want to say to me today? You know, that's sort of like, nope, that's not how this thing works, you know. Draw near to me, I'll draw near to you. You know, it's so many things, ask and it shall be given. Well, I don't know what to ask. Then once you find out what you want to ask, then you ask. You know, when people say that, they say, I just want to hear what God... People a lot of times will look at me and say, I just want to know what God wants to say to me today. I say, well, first of all, you're going to have to ask. Well, I have nothing to ask. Well, then you can't fulfill the scripture to seek and find if you don't know what you're asking for. Think about that. So we tend to throw it back into the lap of God to say, no, it's your responsibility, God. It's you're the one that's supposed to talk to me, not me. And God's like, no, without a vision, you're going to perish. So have you got any details, anything in your mind of something you'd like to do? What is your desire saying to you? You know, and that's where you have to understand that all this plays out to say, it doesn't matter how you get there. It just matters the fact that you envision something, that's something you desire, that you know has been placed inside of you. Once it happens, guess what? You begin to understand that I don't need to know how. My job is to call things that be not as though it were. That's my job. My job is to envision it, believe it, seek it, and I will find it. Knock on the door when that door approaches to me. The door could be red, yellow. It could be big, small. It could be a gate. It could be a door. It could be a window. It doesn't matter. Once I approach it, I will know in my spirit instantaneously, I got to open this thing. And I have keys. What are my keys? Keys of revelation. Keys of revelation of knowledge. Keys of revelation of wisdom. Which means I have a little bit more of my journey that my experience has actually shaped a key for me to know once I get to the door, I'll just automatically know this key will work. That's a key thing you have to understand. Once you get to the door to know God's timing, that key you have in your hand will always work. If it doesn't work, you just keep on seeking and asking and knocking until the key is shaped to fit the door for the door to be opened. Okay, that's a key thing you have to understand. If a door doesn't open it, don't force it. That means you still need more learning. You still need more wisdom. You still need more seeking. Those help us to be better people. And once we become better people, life begins to change for us because the fact we see it from a different point of view. And so when I look at my life, I say, do I manifest things all the time in my world and my reality? 101%. Do I know what goes on in my sphere of influence? 100%. Do I influence my sphere of influence because it wants me to influence it? That's why it's called sphere of influence? Absolutely. Do I have a dream or vision inside of me of something I want to be able to accomplish in a year from now or 5 years from now? Absolutely. Do I have it perfectly in my mind of what it's going to look like? No. But I'll tell you what I do have. I have faith to believe that I'm going to have it because I'm dreaming it. And that's where I say, absolutely, I will have it. So I hope this helped you guys out a little bit today. I always like to bring forth a little bit more of substance to the podcast to give you guys maybe more food for thought to be able to know how to get the ball moving and rolling. I want to encourage you guys also, I have a brand new series I just released that is really, we're selling tons of them. I think we've already sold hundreds of them already. It's a digital download series I did only. It's not a hard copy, it's a digital download series. It's called Advanced Creativity Training Series. Advanced Creativity Training Series. I actually teach on hours and hours of that, on those teachings on that series, I teach about how to stir up creativity, how to maintain it, how to birth it forth, how to sustain it. I teach all these. I even teach how to be creative in your writing. And so this series will teach you how to be creative within your family who might have problems, how to be creative within your marriage that might have problems, a job that might have a problem, or maybe it's no problem at all. Maybe you just want to sort of take it to the next level. And creativity does that. Creativity takes everything to the next level. Because it's new. Behold, I do a new thing. What does God really say when he says that? Behold, I do a creative thing. Because when I create something, it's going to be a masterpiece. It's going to look new to you, and you're going to love it. So it's time to be able to create your life. So I would say go to the website right now, identitynetwork.net, and just put those keywords in, advanced Creativity Training Series. And you can download it right then and there and listen to it today, because every one of us need to understand our co-creatorship in God, to know how to create. God says it, we say it. God does it, we do it. God creates, we create, because we're sons of God. That's our privilege, our right, and to neglect the power to create in our lives would be a disgrace, because everyone knows we're called to mimic our parents. We're called to mimic our father. And that's why it says, greater works shall you do. What brings honor to God is when we see his children doing the same things that he's done. What greater honor is that to a parent? So I want to encourage you guys, get that today, the series, Advanced Creativity Training Series. And as always, I always close by saying, if you don't like your day, change it. Restructure your life by restructuring what you're thinking. God bless.
This has been the Thoughts Become Things podcast with Jeremy Lopez, helping you reach your highest creative potential that God has for you. For more episodes, products, and information on Jeremy, visit www.identitynetwork.net.